You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com. Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Take a deep breath and repeat after me. The Green Bay Packers are a defensive football team. If you never thought you'd say those words, well, you're saying them now. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to this week's episode of Lemps Talkin' Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you thankfully once again from my basement Packer room of my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's 27-16 win over the Denver Broncos on Sunday at Lambeau Field. A win that pushes them to a perfect 3-0 on the season. It's obviously good enough for first place in the NFC North, only a half game ahead of the surprising Detroit Lions, who are now 2-0-1 on the season after their impressive 27-24 road win over the Philadelphia Eagles, the Packers' Thursday night opponent, this afternoon. And you know, 2-0-1, the Lions would be 3-0 if they had Lions'd up that Week 1 game against the Arizona Cardinals. More on both those teams in a bit, of course. And I say I'm thankfully back in my basement because if you listened last week, you know that some flooding in my basement forced me to do the show from my bedroom, which was weird. But after some carpet cleaning and some drywall replacement, everything's back to normal and it no longer looks like a project from some HGTV show. So that's great. Before we get into the fun, I got to do the shameless self-promotion, the Twitter account, LempsMKE at It's Just Chris Now. The Facebook page is still Old Bag of Donuts, OL hyphen Bag of Donuts. And you're most likely listening to this on my new home, Packers Talk Net, but for the Podbean hardcores, this might really be it. I'm not sure. They want the renewal fee, and I got to be honest, I'm just not sure about paying it. But I'll know for sure in the next day or so, and I mean that this time. I'm not just saying it. I mean it. So, of course, I'll keep you posted. And then it'll be on iTunes, too. So even if it's not on Podbean anymore, Packers Talk Net, that's my main home now, and it'll still be on iTunes. So don't worry. You'll get it either way. All right, let's talk about this W. A win that was powered almost entirely by the defense. But you're going to talk about how the offense was trash, right, Chris? Yes, of course, I'll get to that. But as I said last week, when the Packers win, I will always start by talking about how they won. And once again, they won because of the defense. Jesus, that sounds exactly like last week's transitioned into the show segment, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. And when I say defense, I really want to highlight the work of three players. The Smiths, Zadarius and Preston, and Jaire Alexander. Right? Preston Smith, 3 sacks and a fumble forced. He now has 4.5 on the season. Sacks, I mean. Zadarius, 2 sacks. He now has 3 on the season. And Jaire, 7 tackles, 2 passes defended, and a fumble forced. Now, those are just stats, right? Anybody can see those. But it's the timeliness of those plays. All three made huge plays at times when the Packers absolutely needed them. So let's start with Preston, right? 10-10 game, late in the second quarter. Denver takes over after a Green Bay 3-0. Broncos look like they have the momentum. And then boom! Preston blasts through for the strip sack. Rookie Rashawn Gary recovers at the Denver 5. That leads to an Aaron Jones touchdown run. Packers back ahead. And the reason the score was 10-10 and not like 14-10 in favor of Denver at that point? Why, that'd be Zadarius, who came up with a huge sack on a 3rd and goal from the 2 that forced a Brandon McManus field goal. And then both made plays in the waning moments of the game as well. Preston with an absolutely ridiculous jump off the line on a 4th and 17 to sack Flacco on Denver's 2nd-to-last possession of the game. Now, I know I talked about it on Twitter, but I feel like I got to go more. I mean, go back and watch that if you can. It was just insane how he just exploded off the line. You got to go back to like prime Clay Matthews to remember a time when a Packers defensive guy got that kind of a jump. And then Zadarius ended it with a sack, which was the Packers' 6th of the day. Wow. You know, and I love that he's embraced the role of being a leader on this defense, which is something the Packers sorely lacked. I mean, I think Mike Daniels wanted to be that guy, but it just never really stuck. For whatever reason, the guys just, it never felt like that group responded to his leadership. And then Clay Matthews, I think they desperately wanted him to take on that role, but he never was very interested in that, by all accounts. That's not a knock on him, per se. Some guys just aren't wired that way. Even if it would have been nice, considering he was the highest paid guy on defense for most of those years, if not all of them. Really, I think you have to go back to Charles Woodson to find a time when this defense had a true leader, one that the guys really responded to. And, you know, I said it on Twitter last week. I kind of had a feeling Zadarius might be that guy when he was on Twitter welcoming all the draft picks. All the draft picks. Not just the first round guy, the second round guy, first couple of days. I mean all the guys. Rounds 1 through 7. He was welcoming all of them. And then stuff like, you know, he took all the defensive guys out to Republic Chop House Thursday for dinner to watch the Thursday night game. That shit all seems small, but it isn't. It all adds up. And you can see how much joy the defense is playing with as a result. You know, the group celebrations and whatnot. They're having fun. This is supposed to be fun. Fun, damn it, fun. By the way, Republic Chop House, if you've never been there, if you're in Green Bay, go check it out. That is a dynamite. It's pricey. Not going to lie, but it is a dynamite restaurant. I love that place. And they're not paying me to say that. I'm just saying it because I love it. Although I'll take a free steak if they want to give me one. 7.5 sacks for the Smiths in 3 games. I'm not going to sing the Smiths yet. I said in week 1, I might at some point. I'm getting closer, but I'm not there yet, which might be for the best. Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, 5 sacks all of last year. I mean, now I know that number gets inflated a little bit because you have to factor in Fackrell's. I think he had, 10 or 11 sacks last year? But the two main guys, Matthews and Perry, 5 sacks. I mean, if you were shaking your head at the contracts those two got in the offseason back in March, $66 million over 4 years for Zadarius and then $52 over 4 for Preston, you ain't shaking your head now, are you? I love those two. I love them. I want to get, you know, I said on Twitter I wanted to get a Zadarius jersey, but now that I think about it, I feel like it would be hurting Preston's feelings if I didn't get a Preston jersey too. Like, I don't think I can pick one or the other. Right? You go like, well, they wouldn't know. How would they know? I just feel like cosmically somehow they would know and it would hurt their feelings. I don't know. I'm really torn on this one. I may end up just getting both. Who knows? And then Jair Alexander. Wow. Jair F. Alexander. What a day. Let's start with his big play, right? So Denver gets the ball, start the third. 3rd and 2, Flacco completes what would have been a first down to rookie tight end Noah Fant. But then here comes Jair, who straight up rips the ball out of his hands and recovers it. You know, it's funny. I couldn't figure out why he seemed to be giving so much cushion on the line pre-snap on that. Especially once it got completed for the first down, I was like, well, yeah, you're playing 8 yards back. But holy shit, did he come up and make a play? Prove me or shows what I know. That kid is something, man. I really, you know what? I don't know if it's just they're 3-0 and there's good vibes all around in the air, but I'm going to say this. I think by the end of this season, he's going to be one of the 10 best defensive players in football. I will go out on that limb. That's how much I love Jair Alexander. The kid has it all. And I love his swagger too, you know. He plays with such confidence. It's great. And then Jair's big play led to another Jones touchdown run, which put Green Bay ahead 24-10. And then he made a couple of plays. I kind of wanted to talk about a couple other plays he made that, you know, they won't show up on the highlight reel or anything on your local news, but or on ESPN. But he had a nice run stop on a first and goal run from Philip Lindsay. I'd say Lindsay, not Lindsley. I think of Corey Lindsley. Philip Lindsay. Now, Lindsay ended up scoring on the 4th and goal on that drive, but still it was a nice play. Nice to see him come up and run support. And then he had a nice pass breakup late in the game on a play for, I believe, Emmanuel Sanders. And then the 2 first-round picks made plays today, too. Gary, as mentioned, came up with a big fumble recovery, but he also recorded his first sack. And you could see his talent on that play. Now people are going to go, it's a coverage sack. But still, he simply just bullied his way through the tackle on his way to Joe Flacco. And then Darnell Savage, boy, how much do I love Darnell Savage? I love this kid. He got his first interception. I mean, sure, it came on a ball that died coming out of Flacco's hand. But still, how did that ball? I don't know if it was wet or what. I mean, it looked, you know, looked good dropping back, and then he threw it and just wonked out of his hand. Now, it wasn't all pretty from the defense, let's be honest. They did give up the 3 long, excruciatingly long drives to the Broncos offense. I added it up in case you want to hear it. You might not, but I did anyway, so you're going to hear it. Those three drives, 42 plays, 215 yards, and over 22 minutes of clock. All of Denver's 16 points came on those drives. Tackling was an issue at times on those drives, as was their ability to get off the field on third down. Looked like the Packers' defense of old, especially in that department. The third down conversions allowed were just, that's no good. Here's the thing, though. The other eight possessions for Denver's offense, 31 plays, 95 yards, and roughly 13 minutes of possession time. So, yeah, overall great, but giving up long drives is not a habit you want to get into. They've got to fix that and do it quick. And then the run defense is starting to be a concern for me. I mean, Lindsey and Royce Freeman, 144 yards combined on 36 carries. Lindsey with two touchdowns. So two rough showings in a row for the run D after, Dalvin Cook's big day last week, Cook, and then today now. A lot of the yardage from Freeman and Lindsey was right up the middle too, which is really not good. That's the heart of your defense. It felt like Denver just had no fear attacking that part of Green Bay's defense in the run game. And, you know, if you were like me, you were worried about the inside linebackers not named Blake Martinez coming into the season, and you're probably still worried, especially with Zeke Elliott looming down there in Dallas in 2 weeks. Jeez, that could be bad. But you know what? All in all, again, a good day for Mike Pettine's guys. Only 16 points allowed, which is the biggest thing. Want to get to a listener tweet here from Kyle S. at K Schwags. You and I should get Smith Bros jerseys. This D is so legit. King has been a real roller coaster. Rogers still does Rogers things, but is unrecognizable most of the time. Hashtag Lemps Talking Pack. There's no G in there, just Lemps Talking Pack. Trying to seem down home and folksy, Kyle. Come on. Kevin King definitely had kind of an up and down day. Mostly down. He did make a nice play later on in the game. It was not a great start to King, but he made a nice play later on. Kind of redeemed himself. And then Aaron Rodgers, we'll get to in a little bit. Obviously, you're probably like, you're going to get that, right? Yeah, don't worry, we are. And I'll tell you what, this defense, holy hell, did the Packers need that, because the offense, one that appeared to take a step forward last week, took a fairly sizable step back Sunday. I'm not even really sure where to start. The protection, I guess, starts the guys up front. Even though Aaron Rodgers wasn't sacked and only got hit once, I didn't think the protection was particularly great. He seemed rushed a lot, especially in that second half. Hurried. Now, with Denver having Bradley Chubb and the legend Von Miller on the edges, that's, you know, maybe not surprising, but it happened too much. Especially considering the Packers do have a good offensive line. And then the receivers seem to struggle getting open against a strong Broncos secondary. You know, you add all that up, the tight ends weren't very good. Jimmy Graham is still completely non-existent. At this point, I'm going, why did they? You know, I really thought Graham was going to show he had at least one more year in him. He's been totally non-existent. He's been vacant. He's a ghost. You know, and you add all that up, and that leads to a lot of throwaways, you know, from Rodgers. Balls just sort of flung at guys' feet, busted plays. But Rodgers wasn't very accurate at times either, which was odd to see. You know, finished 17 of 29, 235 and a score, no picks. That's not great. From what you're expecting from Aaron Rodgers, again, I know it's a new offense, and I know that they've played three of, you know, the top probably 10 defenses in the league so far, Chicago, Minnesota, and Denver. It's just, Rodgers has to be better. There's no other way to say it. I'm sorry. And which leads me to this tweet from Brendan Kennedy at Swing Kennedy. Rodgers looks like a guy who's taken one too many hits and is afraid of another catastrophic injury. I don't know he trusts the coach or his O-linemen to fully protect him either. I honestly don't know what this guy looks like at the end of the year. Could turn it around, or he could look like Alex Smith all season and have people honestly wondering if it's time to move on. But he's Alex Smith. We're there, huh? We're in Alex Smith territory. I'd be lying if I said I didn't think some of that same stuff too. I do think Rodgers seems afraid to get hit. It feels like that fear is there a little bit. It doesn't feel like he's playing as fearless as he did in years past. I don't think that's unfair. I think that's fair to say. As far as trusting the coach, I don't know if he trusts LaFleur. It's hard to say. I mean, he's only three games into this partnership. He probably doesn't trust him fully yet. The offensive line thing, he should trust his offensive line. Again, I can't say if he does or doesn't, but he should. That's a pretty good group. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I definitely saw it on Twitter. A lot of people saying, "Where's the Rodgers of old?" I it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think he's Alex Smith. I mean, I think he's playing kind of like Alex Smith right now, but I don't hope it doesn't look that way at the end of the year. We'll see, right? And you know, just kind of offense. I also didn't think there was enough of a focus on trying to get the run game going. Jones and Jamal Williams combined for only 22 carries. Now, you go, well, they only had 78 yards too, Chris, against a tough Denver front. So weren't they smart to, you know, not run more? Yeah, but maybe. But with the weather being what it was, I think you should have made more of an effort to run the ball. I just think that's important. And then why is Jones only getting 11 touches today? 10 rushes, one catch. After his big week last week, he showed what he could do last week. What do you have, 26, 27 touches against Minnesota? Now, maybe you don't want him having that every week, but you certainly don't want him having 11 touches either. I don't know if it was they're saving him for Thursday night or what, but you can't really worry about Thursday night. You got to worry about today. And then why was Devontae only targeted 4 times? I mean, I get that it's good to spread the ball around and get other guys involved, but those two, like I said last week, those are your studs. As far as the skill position guys, you're going to go as far as they take you, at least for the immediate future. You've got to get them involved. And you saw last week what happens when those two are made the focal points. Why was that not the case here? That, I don't know about that. I didn't like that. Here's another tweet complaining about the offense from Bill Amundsen at Omaha Badger. I think the play clock should be longer. Still too many delay of game penalties. I think they only had one today. Was it one or two? Yeah, I mean, they're still waiting. The play clock stuff, it feels like it's getting a little bit better, but there are times they're still waiting too late in the play clock to get the playoff. So I agree. I think they've got to, that's still got to improve. The tempo is just not great on this offense. There's just very little tempo. There's very little rhythm. Just all feels disjointed, right? Now, having said all that, there were a couple of bright spots. Most notably, the play of my man, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MBS as we call him here on the show. 6 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown after a week in which a lot of fans seem to be questioning whether or not he had what it takes to be a true number two wideout. Now, I always thought that was dumb. And I said as much on Twitter. I said, anybody looking to sell your MVS stock, call me. I'll buy it. I'm buying all of it. I still am, you know? And you saw today why. This kid has it, okay? His skill set, his size, his speed, his strength. Rodgers has never really had that in a wide receiver before. I guess Jeff Janis. But for whatever reason, that never worked. I have my theories on that, mainly that I don't think Jeff Janis was very smart. And I don't think he was able to ever really learn the playbook. But this kid is not that. He's not Jeff Janis. He's got all the physical tools you need, and you can see the game come. You can see him picking it up more and more now in year two. And you're only going to see that connection grow. Like, people complaining about MVS, don't worry. He's going to be very good. He may not be Devontae Adams, but he is absolutely going to be a number two wide receiver on this team. I have no doubt about that. And you could see it all on that 40-yard touchdown, right? Green Bay's first possession of the game. Free play after Rodgers gets the defense to jump. He's still the master at that, at least. And MVS just straight up blazed past the entire secondary to get open in the end zone. Comes down with a touchdown. Awesome. I'm telling you, don't panic. He's going to be fine. And then another bright spot was fullback Danny Vitale. Is it Vitale? Vitale? If I'm saying it right. Finally getting involved in the passing game, hauling down a 27-yarder on a play-action pass. He rumbles down to the 1 to set up Jones' aforementioned touchdown that made it 24-10, following Jair's aforementioned big forced fumble. And then lastly, you know, I do want to say I did like how Williams ran the ball, Jamal Williams. Particularly in that second half, some tough, hard-nosed running from him. He's tough. He finished with 59 yards on 12 carries, also 2 catches for 27 yards. So what is that? I'm terrible at math, but 86 yards on 14 touches. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good day. Look, there's a spot for him in this offense. No, it shouldn't be a timeshare or anything close to that. I saw last week some of the headlines, Packers, LaFleur want to get it more to a timeshare, even out the carries. No. No, no, no. No, no, no. Aaron Jones is the star. Williams is the 2. There's a place for both of them, right? Like, I don't think you want a timeshare at all. That's not what you want. But you do want Williams getting touches because he has a place, especially in a game like this, you know, rainy, kind of a sloppy track. You want, that's a game you want a guy like Jamal Williams for. And then, you know what? Holy shit. How have I made it this far into the season without mentioning J.K. Scott? That kid has been booming the hell out of the ball all year, and he did so again today. Averaged 53 yards on 4 kicks. Got 3 inside the 20, including that 66-yard monster. Oh my God, was that a punt? Did he boom that? That landed inside Denver's 5. I think it landed at the 2 or 3-yard line. Just an incredible kick. You know, it's funny, he became kind of something of an instant legend during his rookie training camp last summer. And then he was terrible for the most part his rookie year, but he now seems to be living up to what we thought he'd be when he was taken in the 5th round of the 2018 draft. He's becoming a real weapon for this team. Look, punters matter. I know no one likes punters. I've always said punters and kickers are kind of like lawyers. Nobody really likes them, but like, you need a good one. Okay? You just do. It's hard to get by with a shitty one. And you know what? Another thing I want to credit? I want to credit the Milwaukee crowd. I challenged them on the show last week to meet the noise level of the regulars during the Vikings game, and the Milwaukee people responded. Multiple people on my Twitter timeline were saying how loud they were. And I mean, I don't even need Twitter. I could hear it watching the game on TV. I could feel it, man. You guys did not screw up today, and I am so happy. We get such a shitty rep. I'm not a Milwaukee season ticket holder, but I live here. The Milwaukee people get such a shitty rep. It's mostly deserved. I'm not going to lie. But you know what? I'm so happy today they were not that. They were better. Now it's time for the regulars to keep that shit going Thursday night against the Eagles, right? You got to keep that going. And that's how you get Lambeau back to being loud, is every crowd goes, they were loud last week, we're going to be loud this week. And then the crowd after goes, we're going to match what they did. We're going to raise the bar. That's how you turn Lambeau back. That's how you get the home field advantage back. I don't know if they'll ever be Seattle. Now, Seattle has those structural advantages to the way the stadium was built, so they're kind of cheating. I say that because I hate them. But Lambeau can be an imposing place, and it feels like it's slowly getting there. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Of course, now we look ahead to the Eagles next week. That's going to be interesting. There was a lot of hype around this Eagles team heading into the year. I mean, why not, right? You know, they just won the Super Bowl not 2 years ago. A lot of hype heading on the Eagles heading into the year. Here they sit, 1-2. They lost last Sunday night to Atlanta, and then, you know, today, obviously, to Detroit. They're banged up, especially at the skill positions on offense. They are beat up. But you know what? They still have Carson Wentz. Doug Peterson's a good head coach. And you know they're going to be every bit as desperate as Denver was today. Boy, Denver was desperate. You could feel it. You could feel the Broncos. I mean, they fought hard. I give them a lot of credit. They fought their butts off today. They did not want to get to 0-3. And you know Philadelphia is not going to want to be 1-3. Especially with Dallas off to a 3-0 start. So you know they're going to be every bit as desperate and fight every bit as hard as Denver did today. Maybe even harder. And on a short week, man, anything can happen. Did I mention I hate Thursday night? I hate Thursday night football so much. I don't mind it when the Packers don't play. But when the Packers play on Thursday, I just hate it. Ugh, it's the worst. Because I get so, whether they win or lose, I'm just so hyped up after the game, I can't sleep. And I do these pods anyways now. But I can't sleep. It just kills me. You know, I'm just a zombie at work the next day. And you know, we've already learned some good things about these 2019 Packers, but I'll tell you what, these next 3 weeks are going to be a real test. Be a real measuring stick. Philly, short week, Thursday night football, then the road game against the undefeated Cowboys before closing the stretch out with a home Monday night football game against the Detroit Lions. That game could very well be for first place in the NFC North. That's crazy. And the Vikings are in the mix at 2-0, and I think the Bears will probably be in the mix as well at that point still. But yeah, this division looks like it's going to be competitive. It's going to be a real dogfight this year. It's going to be very, very interesting indeed. And of course, you know, I'll be here for all of it. Your old pal, Chris, I'll be here to recap whatever happens. But that, my friends, is all for today. Thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, I'm Chris Lempesis, and this has been Lemps Talking Pack.
Go Pack. Go.